Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Covering all kinds of topics around Douglas County and a lot of different areas on this program. And since we are in the midst of summer, wanted to talk about agriculture today because obviously it's a big deal in Douglas County. Logan Bennett, Extension Agent with the Oregon State University Extension Service, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Kyle.
Well, I know that to say farmers are busier in the summer probably isn't accurate, because I suspect farmers are pretty much just busier, period. But agriculture requires long hours, a lot of work, a lot of flexibility. Overall, how do you feel like the agricultural community is doing this summer in Douglas County?
Well, you're definitely right. Farmers spend a lot of time at the farm, and the summer is no different. Right now, we're in the midst of growing season, and folks are getting ready to harvest on some crops, so things are looking pretty well. We're looking at a really good wine grape crop this year. It looked like overall things for blueberries turned out pretty well, and hazelnuts are looking good too.
So talk about the lack of moisture this summer, and has that had an impact as we've gone further into summer?
The lack of moisture is certainly going to have an impact on all of the crops we grow. In some cases, it's good. For example, we've seen a lot less powdery mildew this year, which is a disease on wine grapes. But obviously, if you don't have access to water, it's going to be a lot harder to grow your crops.
Well, and some farms, particularly depending on what they're producing, are set up with irrigation, but some aren't.
Yeah. Some farms already are set up to run completely on dry farming. I was actually harvesting soft wheat this morning with a dry farmer, and that system can certainly work, especially in vegetable crops, wine grapes, later aged hazelnuts. But if you're growing vegetables or haven't been dry farming, it can be a challenge.
I would imagine part of that, and to help me out here, but I would think that some of that may just be a desire to do it that way, kind of for holistic reasons. But for other people, too, it could be reducing the cost of infrastructure for all the, not just the cost of the water, but especially a lot of people have the portable systems that you kind of move around in the field. All that stuff costs money.
Yeah, irrigation pumps aren't cheap, and setting up permanent infrastructure around irrigation can be very expensive, too. The other thing is some farm ground doesn't have water rights. So if you're going to grow there, you need to know how to dry farm.
And that pops up periodically with the county because you've got different levels of water rights. It gets very complex to try to maybe understand for the average person. But I know that's been a challenge in some particular years where the water master has to go around and say, you know, your water right doesn't go as far back as the folks next door, so after this date you're cut off, and people are, you know, kind of left with a bit of a challenge there.
Yeah, it's really important to know what your water rights are. If you own property or if you're going to buy property, take a look at what they are before you purchase. But even so, I've seen some folks get really creative with how they are able to get water to their plants or when they water to make sure they get the maximum growth they can before they get cut off. One great example I've seen is folks filling up 5-gallon buckets and putting really small holes in them and then placing them next to their hazelnuts during the most critical times of growth. So it slow waters them over time.
Wow. And of course, there are water trucks, suppliers available that way if you've got something to do, you know, someplace to put it in when they bring that out. So that's an option as well.
Absolutely. You can truck water in if needed.
So this month, what kinds of things are being harvested?
So like I said, this morning we were harvesting soft wheat.
Explain soft wheat versus wheat.
Yeah. So there's two kind of classifications of wheat. There's soft wheat and then hard wheat. And what that refers to is the gluten content of both of those crops. So soft wheat has less gluten, and it's good for things like cookies, flatbreads, and pretzels, things like that.
I never knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Things you can learn on the program. And do farmers, or for instance, the folks you were working with, Do they just do soft wheat, or do they do some soft wheat and some hard wheat?
That's a good question, and it probably varies by grower. The one we were doing this morning was only soft wheat, and we were actually looking at sort of an experimental crop. They hadn't had wheat on this farm in 70 years, so we grew enough to harvest about 10 bushels, and a bushel is about 60 pounds, and then harvested it with a combine from 1947. It was pretty amazing, but it was just to see if it was going to work or not.
Once you got it started.
Yes. The farmer is a very crafty guy, and he fabricated a lot of parts to make that combine run.
Wow. Is it one that had just been sitting to the side for years?
Yes. Yep, it was on a blackberry farm somewhere up north for years before he got it.
Wow. So what about other crops this summer?
Yeah, if you're looking in the garden, there's plenty of veggies to harvest, and tomatoes are starting to ripen up. You might have noticed them starting last week. So that's you're about ready to harvest those. Melons are coming on slow, but we're getting close. And then we just finished veraison with wine grapes. That's when they turn color, and they go from developing into starting to compact and collect bricks. That's sugar content in wine grapes. So if you have grapes in your yard, you might notice they're starting to turn purple. So,
and as well, what about corn right now?
Yep. Depending on when you planted your corn, you might be at ear stage, or you might be harvesting already. So that kind of depends on when you planted, but we're getting really close.
Yeah, it seems like, and maybe I was looking at early, but for some reason, I was remembering the 4th of July being about the time that you would start to see corn, and that didn't seem to happen this year.
Yeah, normally we say knee-high by the 4th of July. That's how tall we want it to be. And this year, with a really wet April and then really, really dry summer past that, we saw a little bit of irregular growth for sure.
Now, a lot of the folks that you work with, are they selling to stores, or are they doing farmers markets, or how are they making money on this?
Depends on what crop we're looking at. For my wine grape growers, a lot of that's being bottled and sold either at the winery. Sometimes it makes it into stores, depending on the vineyard. But most of the folks I work with are really focused on selling at farmers markets, doing farm direct marketing, or doing some local stores here too.
And I'm aware of, and I don't remember the term, but sometimes farmers put together these packages where essentially you pay a particular price and you show up every week, 2 weeks, whatever, and you get a box of what is fresh then, which may vary.
Yeah, that's called a CSA, or a Community Supported Agriculture Box, and those are wonderful systems. You're really supporting an individual farmer when you purchase those, and it's kind of like a weekly or monthly subscription, and you get what's being harvested at that time, so a CSA box is going to be different every month and every year.
Now, are a lot of people doing those?
There's quite a few. I know that there's one over in Glide that's doing it. I believe there's a farm out near Myrtle Creek that's doing it as well. And they're available around here.
With the challenges to farming, are there many new agricultural producers getting into it, or perhaps even following in their parents' footsteps when those folks want to retire?
Yeah. Yes and no. Legacy farming continues to be something that we want to put a focus on, because there are less folks going into farming that have been in family farming. And we kind of want to know why that is and how we can assist those folks to continue farming. But there's always new farms popping up. I just worked with a producer that has never farmed before. They moved here recently, and they're starting with chickens and hogs.
Wow. And I worked in a whole different sphere of life before that.
Yes, absolutely.
Interesting. Any differences between the newer folks that are in ag, like maybe the folks you mentioned here, and the people that have been doing it for decades?
Well, one thing I notice is that we're not necessarily new farmers versus farmers who have been doing it for a while, but in agriculture, we're always moving forward with technology, and so we're trying to learn what's the sort of the new technology that's going to help farmers and adjust and make sure that we're matching what we're doing in the field with what's most economically viable.
Every area of life has been impacted by technology, and there's so many aspects to farming that you can't just steer around it now.
Yeah, Absolutely. With the way things are going right now, we're seeing some really great improvements in what we can use to treat for diseases and manage for insects. For example, there's biocontrols coming out now for pests we've been dealing with for a lot of years. And this summer, we released about 6,000 biocontrols for spotted wing Drosophila and brown marmorated stink bug. And we still have one more release date, so we'll be releasing probably a few thousand more.
And with equipment, not just technology, but farm equipment in particular, and I don't know how long these have been around, but I was surprised when somebody mentioned having an air-conditioned tractor.
Yep, that's definitely a thing. Depending on how new your tractor is, you can have air conditioning. They've got radios. Some have fridges built in. A lot of them have GPS and self-driving now, too.
And, yeah, some of the wine producers have talked to me, and thankfully they listen to this station, but go around, harvesting or evaluating in their air-conditioned rig with the radio blasting KQEN at full volume.
That's great.
So we like to get our signal out there anywhere. Speaking of wine grapes, any additional property that you're aware of being put into use for wine grapes?
Yeah, I'm seeing a few fields go in. Wine is a good choice in Douglas County in terms of climate. We do really well here. We have a very specific terroir, which is the flavor profile of the wine based on the climate and soil types. So I'm seeing a few more go in.
And is some of this now more for wholesaling purposes versus somebody who also wants to have a winery here?
There's both. There's kind of a large spectrum of what you can do with wine grapes in terms of if you're growing to sell to another producer or a winemaker, or if you're labeling and bottling your own wine.
And what kind of interaction do you do with the wine folks? Do you talk to them as much as you do the other parts of ag?
Yeah. I've been getting more into the wine grape scene here recently. So we still do things like provide technical advice. I work with wine growers in any facet they may need that Extension can provide. And then also we're starting to do some wine grape-based classes.
And a lot of course, folks that are in the wine industry here approached it as a second career that they always wanted to do. They just had to make enough money in their first one to get into it. And so some of them come with a large background of knowledge, but for some, there's still a lot of things they need to figure out.
Yeah, we have some really great vineyards in Douglas County, and we're actually the original spot for wine production in the state of Oregon. So we've got this really unique growing condition. We have some great tasting wines, and we've got some folks who have been doing it for a long time. And for those who are just getting into it or starting to learn about wine grapes, I'm here to help, so feel free to contact me. I can help you with pest disease management, talking about rootstock, nutrition, anything like that.
Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. More in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4, and on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, I've never got to say this before, Elvis may have left the building, but he's going to be on the radio tomorrow. Justin Shandor, doing the concert out in Sutherland, the famous Elvis impersonator, will be with us for Inside Douglas County on tomorrow's program. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service, I don't suppose you sing.
I don't what? No, I don't sing.
Okay, just checking here. That's quite the transition from agriculture to Elvis, but we do all kinds of things around here. You mentioned off the air about an upcoming thing you're doing with the wine folks. Talk about that in September.
Yeah, so September 8th, we're going to be doing a wine grape rootstock day, and that's meant to get producers out and see the difference in rootstocks and how they help the wine grapes perform. So we're going to be looking at different graphings and different rootstocks. stocks and seeing if there's much difference or what the difference is between plants.
Now, let's talk about the Oregon State University Extension Service in particular. What about things happening this summer and into the fall that people can participate in?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I will mention is that we have the Summer Pavilion Series out at the Discovery Garden, and normally that's the third Thursday of every month, so that would be tomorrow. But because it's going to be 106 degrees, we are rescheduling that into September. So in September, we'll have a double feature of shrubs and of sustainable low-water gardening.
So people enjoy these along with that series. What about other things coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the Master Gardener training coming up starting early in September. And then we're actually partnering with the Meatworks over in Drain, and we're going to be doing a hog processing workshop on August 26th.
Now, hog processing is probably as complex as it sounds.
Yes. The idea being that a lot of folks around here are small farm producers that have diversified setups, and so they may have a pig or two, and they don't know how to process their own animal. So the goal here is to work with the Meatworks to show them how to turn their hog into a edible cut of meat.
And what are the, from the legal department of things, what, I mean, can people just do that on their own farm? Do they have to go to a certain licensed folks, or how does it work?
So if you're processing an animal for your own consumption, you can do that on your own farm. If you're going to sell an animal as meat products, it needs to go through a USDA inspected facility. And then there's a third option, which is custom exempt. So if you're selling animals on the hoof, then the buyer can then take the animal to a butcher shop.
How do you decide what kinds of programs to offer? You're doing all sorts of diverse things. We've just gone from wine grapes to hog processing. I mean, you're all over the board.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'm really blessed to be able to do the job I do. And what we do is talk to the community and figure out what our stakeholders are interested in. So what are the farmers looking to do, or what are they learning to or wanting to learn? And then I base my classes a lot around that. So we look at pretty much all aspects of the farm, try to do a whole farm management when we're looking at classes to do.
And how many agents in extension around here these days?
So here in town, we've got, I think, five right now, including myself.
And you all specialize kind of in different areas, right?
Absolutely. So we've got small farms, then we've got livestock, 4-H, and we also have a SNAP program. So I might be, and forestry. Yeah, five.
So a lot of different aspects. Of course, this program, the Oregon State University Extension Service, has been around for, I want to say, a very long time.
Over 100 years.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but then I was second-guessing myself. And it's just amazing the impact of that. Is this something that other states that have this type of ag do as well?
Absolutely. So every county in the United States, I think, there may be some exceptions there, that has a land-grant university has an extension service. And so we've been around for over 100 years, not just Oregon State University, but extension in general. And we were originally based on helping farmers exclusively. So we worked on agricultural research and then directed that towards farmers, farm managers, that kind of stuff. And as we've progressed in time, so has our scientific offerings. So now we do things like forest management and food nutritional management, stuff like that as well.
Well, even things like for people who can, be instructing them about how to do that right so you're successful.
Absolutely. The Master Food Preserver Program, which is coming back to Douglas County too.
Wow. Is there a kind of an age span, or I guess what I want to ask is, are a lot of the folks involved with extension programs in a particular age group, or is it pretty diverse?
That's a great question, and it depends on the program we're doing. So for 4-H, obviously a lot of our participants there are youth, and depending on the program, so for my program, sometimes we have youth participants. We were talking about doing a hog processing class specifically for 4-H students, for example. But a lot of the folks I work with are farmers, so they're adults, ranging in age from someone who just started and might be in their 20s all the way up to folks who are in their 70s.
Do you see more in a particular age range?
Yeah. In general, for farmers, farmers tend to be a little bit older, so I tend to work with folks that are a little bit on the older side. And not always, though, because a lot of our new farmers are still coming in, and they're still, 20 to 35 age.
Do you ever encounter, as you're out in the agricultural community, maybe folks, especially in the that are newer to it, that are unaware of the OSU Extension Service?
Absolutely. That's just kind of part of it. OSU Extension's been around for a long time, and there's folks that are entering the sphere that haven't interacted with the world of agriculture or the resources that they have yet. So I still run into folks who maybe haven't heard of Extension yet, and I'm super glad to show it off and show it to them.
And talk about your offices, where they are at.
Yeah, so we're located at 1134 Southeast Douglas Avenue. We're right next to the courthouse. And if you're ever in town and have a question about something agriculture-related, food, nutrition, 4-H, or forestry, feel free to pop by, or if you want to visit the plant clinic.
And talk about your website and how people can connect that way.
Yeah, so if you go on to OSU Extension's website and navigate to Douglas County, all of our events, our departments, and the folks that are in the program are available to access there.
And it sounds like you really like what you do.
Oh, it's the best job in the world. I get to work with wonderful people and help people.
Logan Bennett, Oregon State University Extension Service, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.